You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.
From Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing, Josh Carey and David Bates.
Yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because you got to find a project. You got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It is the At Home Show. My name's Josh Carey.
And my name is David Bates.
Michael Stevenson is to my left, and he is producing the show this morning capably. The At Home Show is a Saturday morning tradition, David Bates.
He gave me a heads up this morning that he's going to have to teach us how to incapably produce it ourselves. So
yeah, I got a trip to Savannah coming up, so good luck.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we'll have a best of.
We also want to say thanks to Nora McGarry, who is marketing director here at Bates Nursery, and she's running the video portion of the show this morning. So whatever camera shot she wants to have on, that's what's going to be on.
She has the power.
And we're going to also probably get her involved in this little learning process on making sure our sound comes across.
Yeah, I could teach her how to do all this.
I know you can. I know you can. So anyway.
All right, David, it's going to be hot this morning.
It is indeed going to be hot. And per usual for the last number of weeks, it has been a alternating somewhere between extremely cold and extremely hot. And of course, today is Saturday, currently 78 degrees here in the Music City, and we're going to have a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. That's going to be mostly afternoon, probably later in the afternoon. Partly sunny, particularly this morning, with a high near 88 degrees. Winds be out of the south at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, be partly cloudy with a low of about 67. South southeasterly winds about 5 miles an hour on Sunday. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and that's going to be later in the afternoon as well. Partly sunny, a high near 87 degrees. Winds are going to be out of the south at 10 to 15 miles an hour. And as we look at the week ahead here, we can see that it's going to be seasonably mild. We're going to have one more cooler day, it looks like, on Tuesday, 66 for the high and cloudy conditions. Some showers Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. As it certainly is,
that's out of order. It should be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday or Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
I think that's the way it's supposed to work. But anyway, we return to the 80s on Friday with some sun.
I'd like to return and, to the 80s. Wouldn't it be great to go back to
there
the
There are parts of it that I would like. There are some parts I frankly don't remember.
Me too.
I guess that's part of the intrigue.
I remember watching a lot of He-Man and Brave Star back in the 80s.
He-Man and Brave Star. I can tell you with all
on
certainty.
Beta or
I
don't VHS, know what, young man?
I don't know what either of those are.
VHS. Who owned a Betamax in the 80s?
Oh, man. The Beta was better quality. It was by far the better format.
I have quite a collection of Beta tapes, but no Betamax player. But one of these days, I'm going to buy one. We've got the map up there, and you currently see there's the showers are way out west of here and way northeast of here. So, you know, we got no rain in the area whatsoever. And again, currently it is 78 degrees.
We got here at Bates Nursery. We got a present this weekend.
We did.
And we had a mail in from our friends at Tall Boy Marketing.
You got him up here on his Facebook page.
Yeah, and Big Justin is, and there's a reason it's Tall Boy Marketing. He probably
all 6'8" of them.
He couldn't fit into the studio, but they are a great company. If you're in the in the food or beverage industry, you need to get out there and check out their services because they are great. Justin was one of the original at homies
I mean, he goes way back into the last century. For
back in the day when we were just getting, when we, that's back when we were at Cumulus, way back when we were many moons ago.
Moons.
Yeah, one of the stories that I was thinking about that we need to write and get out there, Josh, is kind of the history of the at-home show. Kind of, you know, how do we get to this right here? What all transpired and how did
they closed the hotel? That's how we got here.
Well, that's the most recent step, but there are a whole lot of other steps that preceded this
one. What's the rise and the run of those steps, David?
Well,
is it,
you know,
a steep? Was it a steep climb?
You
was
know,
it steady for 22 years?
I don't know about
years.
You. I thought I was just going to fill in one weekend and help out on the show 22 years ago.
That was
and,
closer to 25 years
oh,
ago.
Oh, that was 25. Yeah, 22 since we've been doing it together. But, yes, 25 years ago when we first began, Josh's hair was dark, and I actually had hair back in those
days. My hair
days.
Was a lot longer in those days too.
Oh yeah,
you know we had the modified. We didn't have a.
You had a
we didn't have a
mullet.
No. I had a trout. Okay,
a trout.
Okay, it was not a mullet. Okay, we had a trout, but it was a lot of fun, and we were the fill-in hosts on Weekend Lifestyles
with Norm Daniels.
Yes. Okay,
and if Jerry Norman, if you're out there, because that was his radio name, his radio moniker was Norm.
He
Daniels.
Sold more gypsum than any human being I ever knew.
Truckloads of it.
Well, that's how he tried to sell it, was by the truckload.
Exactly. So, Jerry Norman, great guy, and he's not responsible for putting us together. That honor really goes to John Rarick.
Yes,
who was the sales guy over at WTN back in the day, and my company and the company that Josh works for, Crosland, were both advertisers, and I got asked to fill in 1 week and then got asked to do that again and continue on, and about a month later Josh had the same experience. And
who was it the garden guy or the home improvement guy that used to talk about marking your territory in the yard?
I'm unsure about that.
I think I'm sure it was a guy.
Now, Oh, yeah. But I think that was probably what got him.
I think it was the attitude that got him off the. I don't think that was what got him off the show. I think that, the first question that I was asked when I walked in the day one is, where are your books?
Books?
And that's why I said, books? What are you talking about? What books? Nobody said anything to me about books. He said, no, duh. Look up the answers to the questions. I go, oh, well, you know, if I can't come off with an answer good enough at this point, I don't think books are going to really help. So
I don't think so.
Was that 1998?
That was 1995.
No, 95.
Oh, 95. Okay.
95.
1998 is when I got started in radio, and the first thing I learned is that you can keep whiskey cold in a toilet tank, because that's what the guy did.
That's where you used to hide it so Mom wouldn't find it anyway. All righty, 615-499-6690. This is an audience participation program.
You can call. You can either call and leave your information, and Michael can call you back, or you can just leave a message, and we'll talk about whatever it is that you got on your mind, no matter what that is, be it a gardening issue with anything you might be having maybe a little trouble with, or maybe you want to know what to do next on, we'll be glad to assist you with that. We do have a collection of some flowering things and a few conifers that I brought in this morning. As I laid my head down last night of all the things that
you could have done,
I didn't get done, I realized, I did not
put the set together.
I did not put the set together. So that was at my
foray. So you got the poodle bush back there?
Yeah, we got a three-tier. This is a...
A poodle bush.
Dr. Seuss tree. It's a three-ball poodle.
It looks like a living cat tree.
I guess a cat could get up in there.
I
don't know if it would do it a whole lot of good. Maybe it wouldn't do the cat that much good either.
Probably fall out.
I did share the site on the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates Facebook page for Tallboy Marketing, so you can check that out. You can also leave a comment there on the live broadcast. We're seeing a few of them, and we have Earl wants to know if we have any of the pictures from the very, very old days.
I will tell you if I can.
That could be Polaroid. That was so.
You know, there's one. We had some of those. Do you remember? We had some shots made when we were with WTN.
That's where most of the pictures come from.
And I was probably about 40 pounds heavier than I am now.
And I
guess a lot of that was hair. Because I did have hair back in the day,
but from the original edition of the At Home program, aka Weekend Lifestyles, I don't think there are any images.
I don't know. I don't think that taking at that time you would have had to have been lugging an actual camera around with you to take pictures, because there were no smartphones. There weren't even really dumb phones. They
still had wires attached to the walls.
Yeah, and there were a lot of maybe some of the brick phones or the little
bag phones.
Yeah, those were a fashionable statement.
Bag phones.
You just don't know, man. You're
right, I don't.
Okay, the horn on your truck would start honking when you got a phone call, because they had to be attached, because
really
the battery.
For whatever reason, back in the day when I first had one of those, my dad had the knack of always calling when I was around the far side of a building with a customer, and I would have to go running back to the truck. And of course, there were no caller ID at that time, so if you missed the call, you didn't really know who called you.
No.
And that happened no more three or four times a day. And when you're driving a standard shift with in the truck mounted phone, and you got the phone under your ear and you're trying to shift gears and it's got a spiral cord, and
scream because nobody could hear you through the microphone.
Yeah.
All righty, 615-499-6690. That is the number to dial to join us. And if you've got comments or questions about some things. Now, you had a safety issue at your
home. Little boy's always trying to escape constantly.
You're not feeding him?
We're feeding him. We're probably feeding him too much. He has too much energy.
Okay.
Little boy could open windows, try to climb through windows.
And he's how old now?
21 months.
Okay.
You showed us the video. I don't know if we put it out here on the show, but you had a video from when he got himself out of the house and found it in the door locked behind him, and he couldn't get back in, so he rang the ring, your little doorbell thing.
Beating on the door to get back in. Dude was, I'm just like, what are you doing? I'll see if I can find it here real fast.
But anyway, Michael, that's not a good thing, okay? Now,
not a good thing. He can also lock me out of the house.
Well, that'll teach you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But, describe your windows to me. Do you have windows that both the top and the bottom sash go up and down, or just the bottom part of the window?
Well, they both go up and down.
Okay.
I just happened to leave it unlocked, and it was slightly ajar. And they've got, like, I don't know if they're spring-loaded, but they're that easy open kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, they do have springs and balances on them. Now, do you have the capability of drilling a small hole in these?
Well, I have the capability, but as to the know-how is a completely different story.
Well,
and it requires a drill and a bit.
And
I guess a screw is the next thing you're going after.
No, maybe not necessarily a screw, because you wouldn't really want to screw the window shut, because you need out in case of a fire, or you want to open it up to get some fresh air.
All you got to do is keep the cordless right there beside the window, so you can unscrew
one on every window. Put one in every bedroom. I'm all for that. But you might try a dowel piece with a little knob on it, and just make sure he doesn't see that, because all of these features that I'm about to talk about, they call them window opening control devices now, and they are fall prevention devices. And the codes are starting to require them on new construction homes.
My home's about 22 years old.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Chances are just locking it will work for a while.
For a minute, until he gets to where he
parental,
can. They do have custodial locks that have keys on them as well. But you, how many windows are in your home?
Too many.
Okay. How many does he have access to?
All of them.
Okay. Well, you're probably not worried about the little one that's over the water closet.
No, that one you can't open. That one you can't open. The ones you'd be worried about,
you can't open one above the water closet?
Well,
ooh,
is well ventilated.
Okay, so. I certainly hope so. You have the Fartus Fanus.
Yes.
Okay,
that right. one.
You know the Latin.
I sent that video to you, David, too. By the way,
I couldn't air the
little boy escaping. I didn't know. I couldn't airdrop it to you. So
okay, but fair enough.
Even something as simple as a piece of dowel rod put on the bottom sash to the top sash where he can't.
You're talking about like a prop,
just a stick, man.
Now I could do that. Okay, that's what my grandmother used to do to keep people from coming in her sliding door.
Well, then again, because
you always have these brooms that have like only a handle this long.
Right,
they've taken the broom handle
because there's
cut
the key
off.
To your house when you have a sliding glass door that is not of good quality. So I mean, they're very easy to get in. The broomstick was just to make her feel better. Anyhow, put the sticks in the side. That would probably be the first step. Now, if you find the custodial locks, because it's a little, they're a little bit harder to find than you might think, but that would be a solution for you. But you don't want him, especially on the windows upstairs. He can bounce on the first floor, probably.
Well, the windows on the first floor have access just because it's a basement den, a finished basement. Uh-huh. If you go out the window, you're basically on the ground.
Okay, like I
said.
Like,
it's right there on the ground. The ones up top, yeah, it's a different story. So
yes, yeah, called the second story.
Yeah. It's called the second story.
Well, depending on where you get out the window.
Story, David.
Yeah.
Okay, now you might want to start looking at things like the spacing on the spindles on your deck as well, because he will use those as a ladder if you're not careful.
Oh, he's already doing that. I went.
Smart kid.
I could hear him the other day. I said, Sam, what are you doing? And he didn't answer. And I looked down the stairs going down, and he had grabbed a hold of the banister on the steps, and he was making his way down like a monkey.
Oh, my
goodness. I'm like, I had to shave my beard because it's going all white, all of it.
Okay. Is anybody else noticing that we have subtitles on the program this morning? At least I do on my laptop.
I haven't looked, so I don't know.
615-499-6690. Corey, I can talk as loud as I want to. It's my show.
Oh, did he call you out finally? Because he's been texting me, turn Josh up. Turn Josh up. And I said, now Josh needs to speak up.
Speak up. Okay. Well,
let's talk about some flowering things for just a moment. You know, there's a lot of choices that folks have this time of year, and people are always looking to get color into their landscape.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more than, it's not just one way to get color. You know, everybody thinks about flowers, which is the most, you know, common way to think about color. But color also comes in colorful foliage. And it also comes, there are plants like this gold mop cypress that's right over your shoulder there, Josh. You know, it's a beautiful gold color all year long. It's even more intense in the wintertime. So, you know, that's a nice golden color.
In groups, that is absolutely stunning.
It's very nice. And it gives you, something of interest all year long. And that's really what you're going for in the landscape. Now, there are people over the last couple of years, and I've gotten a lot more emails about this, of people having trouble with conifers, and in some places of them dying after having been in for a while. And conifers as a family generally do not like wet feet.
No, they don't.
They like the area that drains well and does have a chance to dry between watering. So, you know, that's not a good choice in a spot that stays wet. However, next to Michael over there, the Itea or Henry's Garden.
I love their furniture, man.
That's Ikea, Josh. No, Itea is a sweet spire. That's Henry's Garnet, and you'll see it's got the panicles on it right now, and those flowers have yet to open up. They do have a little.
Those are panicles, Michael.
Yeah.
Panicles.
Panicles.
So pancakes.
Those are going to be opening up, and they do flower in the early spring. They do get a nice, as the name would suggest, a garnet red color in the fall. So they're quite an attractive, give you multiple things of interest. One of those strong points, the reason I brought that in today, is that if you have a spot that's especially wet, it's no problem for that at all. It can stand in water all the time, and it will not.
It laughs at the water.
Yeah, it does really well in that. So there's something on both ends of the extreme. If you're looking for color, but if you have an area that tends to be drier, a conifer might be a good choice. If you have something that's really wet where the drainage is poor, a Henry's Garnet Sweet Spire is a really good choice. Now, I've got some other things down on the front.
Now, just stop right there. Now, that would be in, if you like the fall color in the red, perhaps an alternative to Burning Bush?
It would be a much better alternative. It's much easier to control. It doesn't have the
they're kind of getting
issues of being invasive, yeah, and that kind of thing. So, no, it's a much better choice, and it's a lot more adept at handling wet feet situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and proceed, sir.
We all know what wet feet does to you.
It makes them stink.
Okay. Plants don't get athlete's foot, but it's not good for you. I'll just tell you that. We got some spireas down front. There's actually two right there. Neon Flash is the pink one that you see. And then there's the gold one that is just to the right of that. That's called Double Play. And it's so named because it does have a rosy pink flower on it. But the really outstanding quality of it is the really golden foliage. And if spireas are a full sun plant, so they need to be in an area where they will get full sun and be able to set bud and flower properly. But also, it's important for the Double Play in particular, in that you won't get
to have a good shortstop.
You won't get
to do a Double Play, though, man.
Well, it's true, but you won't get that Double Play effect if you don't have it in full sun. So it needs to be in a sunny location. So over here, all around to the left is the a collection of roses that I put together. And these are all types of drift rose. And drift rose are a shrub rose. What's great about the drift roses in particular is that, unlike other shrub roses, the one you're no doubt familiar with, everyone's heard of knockout rose.
Well, stop right there.
Okay.
We have to have a disclaimer.
When we say that, we have to talk about Dr. Alan Wyndham.
Yes.
And we have to mention the fact that all roses are susceptible to rose rosette, particularly when you plant them by the millions all over the country.
Yes.
And that has been a really prime example, primarily on knockout roses, because they got severely overplanted.
And it is an STD, so you have to be very careful when you're putting your...
Okay, you're going to give us what that STD...
Shear transmitted disease.
They can be transmitted by shearing, okay. That is true.
Okay, yeah.
So... But generally, they are mites that move around. I don't mean maybe.
I understand.
They are mites that move around from one plant to the next. So if you'll spray them with a dormant oil during the dormant season, that helps a lot to prevent. That's just one of those things that if you can treat for a virus by dealing with the with a miticide or an insecticide to be able to deal with a pest. So drift roses are particularly nice in that they are really a prolific flower producer. You can see on the red and the pink ones down front, lots of beautiful flowers. They are really outstanding. And I did bring a white one up on the top. You don't see any flowers, but just a good show of how beautiful the foliage is. And that's really the great thing, additionally, about a shrub rose, is that because they are a shrub, they have really nice foliage. So even in those times in between flower, and these will be blooming within a few days because there's probably 30 or 40 buds at least on
Absolutely.
That.
Mrs. Carey's two drifts are planted in with some daylilies that are coming up and monkey grass. Okay. And they are stunning this spring. I mean, they've already bloomed out several times.
Well, my dear bride, Renee Bates, had me out front looking at... She was actually showing me some snapdragons that were over in the back
She wants them back?
They came back this past year.
Wow.
But she has apricot drift roses in front, which are just a beautiful mass. That probably is my favorite of all of them. It really is a great foliage, great growth habit.
And you get great fruit.
No, there's no fruit on the apricot. They're just apricot colored.
False advertising. Well, I have shared an image with you to the Green Room MacBook Air there, David, that Michael has sent to me because he has a... He has another product, but I am going to go out on... I think what we have there, we have a weed issue that we're trying to get rid of, and I think I know what that is, but it's probably in a wet area. Look, it's right by either the air conditioner or perhaps the hose bib there. Looks like... Is that Nutsedge?
I don't know. I have yet to get it. I have whatever reason that picture has not come through yet.
Just you have to answer to the.
That does look like nut sage. Absolutely, like. I did accept that image. I don't know where it went. So.
Okay, but anyway, we have it up here. So as we go, that very much appears to be nut sage, and you need to go see our friends at Dickens Surf and Landscape Supply. Take that picture with you, and they'll say. Come here, I got something for you.
And products such as Sedge Hammer are widely available. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking for a herbicide for a post-emergent herbicide for weed control, you can't just use most of your things like Green Sweep or the products that are available.
It'll laugh, and that this
it doesn't do anything to grassy type of weeds. And you have to have a very specific herbicide to deal with grassy types of weeds that are sedges, and the Sedge Hammer is mm-hmm. one of them, and there are other products, but they're...
Because they've got tiny nutlets, don't they?
Yes,
they
so they're very specific for that. Mm-hmm. They work very good on that, but they don't do really anything to anything else.
All right. Well, 615-499-6690. Liza says that will go directly to a phone that Michael is in charge of, and you can send images like that. That's great. We'll get it up here in a minute.
Hey, let's talk for just a moment about where we are, Base Nursery and Garden Center.
Sir.
We're at 3810 White's Creek Pike. This week, mm-hmm. we have started our expanded hours. You know, Metro began phase one of opening things back up. So we have been on a schedule of being open only noon until 4 mm-hmm. Since the beginning of April. So we're now open from 9 until 4. And that actually began yesterday, so we will continue on today. That'll be Monday through Saturday during the week, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., noon to 4 on Sundays. And and I'll just go ahead and mention it for what it's worth, that we've got a holiday coming up week after next, which will be Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be open a short amount on that day, just to throw.
I thought Memorial Day weekend was this coming weekend.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, take Monday off.
Okay, now this is this weekend, Michael.
Okay,
This is this weekend.
Okay, the next weekend would be the next weekend.
The next weekend, yes. Go ahead and take Monday off if you want to. It'd be fine. David and I said it's okay if you just don't want to. Yeah, just sleep in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't even have to come in over here and do a show or anything. We're not going to do a Memorial.
Appreciate it. On Monday?
Yeah, we're not.
615-499-6690.
Come out and see us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, where we have got everything you could think of with regard to landscape. It doesn't matter if you're looking for edible landscape plants or trees or shrubs or ground covers.
They've got it out here, folks. No kidding. You really need to come out here and see.
We also have a tremendous amount of expertise. If you've mm-hmm. got challenges like we talked about earlier with regard to a spot that's wet or a place perhaps that needs something that can tolerate drier conditions, take photographs of your area, bring those along with you, and we'll do our best to help you get the right plant in the right place the first time, because that's the way we do it over here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. So we appreciate your attention on that for just a moment, and invite you to come out and see us.
Did you guys have a good Mother's Day?
I did. It doesn't really count whether I had a good Mother's Day or not.
Did your wife have a good Mother's Day?
I believe my wife did have a good Mother's Day. We, our... now adult children. My wife always, why do you say adult children? I said, because they're adults. I don't know. It seems strange to me to just say our children, but they are in fact adults. So in their 30s. So anyway, they came over and we had dinner Saturday night together. So that was very nice. Thoroughly enjoyed that. And Renee made some, killer chicken enchiladas that were
you made
just,
her cook on Mother's Day?
No, she just offered to. She wanted to do it. That's
it was her thing. That was what she wanted to do.
That's what she wanted to do, yes. And you know what? We all thought it was wonderful. Okay. So I think it was a good Mother's Day for her because we sure enjoyed it. Yep. Speaking for me and Jason and Sarah.
I'm going to send you a video, and Catherine's going to kill me, but it's totally worth it.
Okay.
Totally. I bought Catherine a BB gun.
Cool.
For Mother's Day.
Wow.
She's been asking me one forever. And
not as good as a load of dirt like I got my wife.
Well, she...
Yes, I did, Anora. Did you see those eyes come up there? And
He bought her a bag of crap last year.
No.
Okay, look. He bought her grass seed and fertilizer last fall.
And an aeration by none other than the one and only Yard Boy.
Okay, but what was the event? Why were you buying her?
That was her birthday.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I mean, obviously, you're a real sentimental type.
Well, hey, you know, you think for the future. But, no, she was thrilled with the Earth Mix because we got a whole – I got a whole scoop of Earth Mix, and we're going to have that video up, and we see how convenient it is to get it loaded.
Yeah, I have a hard time getting those things up while we're actually on the air. This is one of those things, if we're going to do that kind of thing, you kind of need to get them to me before we go on the air because I can barely walk and chew gum at the same time.
I sent it last week, but that's okay. You were just getting over surgery, but that's all right. Anyway, we had a good one, too. I believe Mrs. Carey was very happy with what she got. She got her steak and her asparagus and her glass of wine and everything, and then her two cubs came home as well. Well, one was already here, but the eldest one, Sunshine, herself, she managed to arrive just after that load of dirt was completely unloaded.
Timing.
Isn't that amazing?
Timing
how
is
that
the
happens?
Key to success in life.
All right. 615-499-6690. That is the number to join us here on the At Home Show.
Marcy Godby said she just uprooted a huge knockout bush with a huge root and transplanted in her front lawn. It's been about 2 weeks in the ground with special Miracle-Gro dirt for bushes and shrubs.
Ooh.
And I have been watering, but its leaves are looking parched. The tree looks dead. Should I give it more time? After hearing about STDs, I'm getting ready to uproot and want to put a colorful piece in any spot.
Well, first of all, I want to make sure you understand that anything that – let me explain to you this way. There's a product we're all familiar with called a magic marker. There's no magic. There's ink in there.
I'm just saying.
So when you have something that's like a miracle something product, there's really no miracle. There's like soil in it.
It's just grow.
It's not a miracle. It's just so.
It's got some stuff in it.
But to your point, I think just mentioned timing being so critical. When things are actively growing, it's particularly if you're just going to root it up and pull it up out of the ground. It's not just timing that's the issue. It's also the methodology that was
the one thing that we didn't. This is the problem with not being able to interact live. So she needs to call in. We wonder, or I do, if she drowned it after she put it back in the hole.
And you say that you say drowning as though that she might have not watered it thoroughly enough.
Yeah,
I mean, because we're not talking about drowning as in too much water. You're saying, did she really settle all the air pockets out around the roots?
Especially in that Miracle-Gro dirt.
Well, particularly when you are transplanting something like that, it's all about timing. It's all about climatic conditions. And if you just bare root it out of the ground and then you go and dig the hole, and then you put it back in the ground, those roots have had a chance to lie there and dry out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were going to do that correctly, we'll just kind of go through that quickly, is number one, do
not that she did anything wrong on purpose, but we think
number one, she did it at the wrong time of year. She should have done it a couple of months ago, and it'd been fine.
Yep.
The second thing is if you're going to transplant something like that, dig the hole where it's going to be transplanted to first. Before you dig the plant out. So go dig that hole first. That way, when you dig the plant out of the ground, you're able to take it immediately to the new hole and backfill it. And then that's what you're talking about drowning, is to really soak it thoroughly. And you cannot overwater it at that point. And that initial watering is so important to get those air pockets settled out of the soil and also to rehydrate that root system that you have cut out of the ground.
And then keep it watered during these last couple of weeks.
The other thing that you should seriously consider doing, and this is right now since you're where you are with it, is take your loppers or heavy hand pruners and cut it back severely.
Yeah.
And by doing that, what you're going to get is you're going to take all that stress of that supporting all of that extra foliage and growth and flowers, get all that out of the way, allow it to have the opportunity to produce new growth and get some start the feeder roots reestablished again. So if you do that, your chances of success go way up. Chances are it'll make it.
But they're pretty hard to kill.
But it's going through some serious transplant shock right now. So you don't you don't want to do that as a general practice.
Is that 220 circuit?
No, it's not 220.
110?
I don't think that it's that kind of circuit. No. It's not.
Breakers both. Off?
Could be, yeah.
Could be that the breaker's off and that she needs to get some current back in there. All right, 615-499-6690. And we have lots of stuff up at the At Home Show with Josh Gary and David Bates Facebook page. After the show, go back and review it. Share that for us, folks. Share it to everybody you know.
It really helps us out a bunch.
Send it to people at church. Send it out to people at work.
By the way, those of you who, if you're on Facebook watching us or if you're on YouTube watching us, or if you're on Twitter watching us,
you could
go to our Facebook page and share it, and of course like our Facebook page. You can also go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. That way you'll get the little notification whenever we're on every week.
Miss Varallo is listening and watching the
Hello, Deb.
Show
good to,
at Facebook good, Live right
know
now.
You're out there this morning. Thanks for tuning in. Dear friend of the show.
Absolutely. All righty, 615-499-6690. Yes, and yes there to the left.
I'm listening to your sweet, sultry voice.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It should be. You like my shirt, by the way?
I do.
Okay. This is from the Stitch Fix collection, because, I mean, we're going to try to dress it up a little bit since it's a visual image now.
Yeah. So. Well, it never has really mattered very much to this point, because, when you're doing radio, and we've had faces made for radio all these years, the attire has never been. Now, it got a little more important when we were broadcasting from the Opryland Hotel.
She wouldn't let us go out. It wouldn't let
because,
me leave the house.
We have people walking by, and we have people taking our picture as though we were somebody.
Well, and I miss the little kids, because the little kids are always up first thing in the morning. They're the ones walking around in their little jammies.
The little kids and the drunks that haven't gone to bed yet. We saw a few of those along the way.
Well,
I always liked it when the Amish convention would come. you remember that? All the Amish people would be walking around the hotel like, what?
Well, hey, why not?
I mean, it's fine. They can do what they want.
Yeah, but. I mean, the image of that with the Starbucks is that one image that always, I just go, okay.
I miss my girls at the Starbucks there in the hotel, man. I mean, they had my coffee ready for me every Saturday morning when I walked in. I mean, they knew exactly what it was.
We've all had to make a lot of change, and that's what getting through the whole COVID-19 experience is all about, is adapting to the change. And the time we spend lamenting about it is wasted time.
Yeah.
It's all about making adjustments, and frankly, I think that's why so many people are interested in gardening.
Well, that's what we did for my mom for Mother's Day. We made her a raised bed garden, and
it's an above ground garden. We're now going to call it an above ground gardening. I've decided,
because if it was raised, it would actually be.
It's still above ground.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
It's not in the ground.
Well, no, the plants are in the ground.
Yeah.
No, they're in the dirt.
No, that's ground.
Well, it's the soil that they're growing in.
Above ground gardening. You can be in a raised bed. It could be in a platform bed. It could be an old
container. Could be an old whiskey barrel or a wash tub. Something that's got drain holes in it.
70,000 mile two ply tire.
But Josh, wouldn't you agree that it is raised? Above the ground?
I'm not saying that it's not raised.
So it would be a raised bed?
Where are yours?
Huh?
Where are yours in proximity to the ground? How are they on the ground?
They're raised.
No. Where is it on?
Raised on the ground.
It is raised above the ground, correct?
I didn't run them
horizontally.
I just think this is semantics.
Correct. Okay. Word salad. Whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it above ground gardening. Like, you got swimming pools, above ground swimming pools.
All I was trying to say is.
I don't care what you were trying to say. We're going to call it above ground gardening.
Okay, while we're talking about gardening, we're going to spend just a moment talking about Earth Mix Garden products.
The best stuff, man.
And we started developing Earth Mix Garden products 20-something years ago. And it was tried to be done with a totally sustainable approach. Mm-hmm. totally organic. Mm-hmm. But most of all, if you're going to use a soil product, you want it to be able to grow plants and to grow them very well. And you want to, you know, plants that are having their nutritional needs met most completely are naturally resistant to pest and disease. And when you're growing your own garden, that's really important because you don't want to be spraying it. You don't want to be applying pesticides and those kind of things unnecessarily. So if you can grow your plants healthy and strong, you can get around most, if not all, of those spraying problems. And you can do that with EarthMix Garden Products, and it is available.
And it truly is a miracle. That stuff is so cool.
It's not a miracle. It's science. You know, it's about using what nature gives you. You know, see, nature's been growing plants for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. There are things that Mother Nature has developed, like mycorrhiza fungi,
ooh,
humic acid. These are things that are
on pita bread too.
I think that's hummus. Josh. Okay. I don't think humic acid is all that.
Probably wouldn't be that good
directly on pita bread. But anyway, if you're looking to grow plants your very best, check out the complete line of EarthMix products over at earthmix.net. And you can just click on the products tab there. If you want to find EarthMix, a dealer near you, click on the Find EarthMix tab, and you'll see a map will come up, and it'll give you locations all around Middle Tennessee, Kentucky. We also have vendors now in Indiana and Ohio. So check that out over at earthmix.net. Remember, this success in gardening begins at the ground level. You use EarthMix garden products.
Risha wants to know how your mitt is over there, David.
My mitt? Oh, this. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully on Monday I get a really good report. I'm going to be out of this thing. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult to keep it clean. It's not nearly as clean, I'm sure, as, you know, we've all been taught.
Getting a little funky?
We've all been, you know, we've been coached in so many times we've heard, talk about washing your hands, washing your hands. When you tried to wash your hand, that's more challenging because this hand can't, I can't get this hand wet, but I got to keep this one clean. There's a conundrum right there. Hey, he may be worse than me. That's true.
We don't know.
You don't know.
So far, so good. You know, there's no sign of any redness that I can ascertain. It all looks and feels pretty good. You know, they've got it.
Is it still swollen a little bit?
I'm going to guess. You know, it went through
looks
some
a
trauma.
Little tight to me.
Went through trauma a couple of times. You know, once when I got it crushed,
it's got that puffy look.
And then there's the trauma that is an inherent part of surgery.
It's
when
probably
they
just retaining water.
That's swelling. That's what it is.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to Monday and getting this off and seeing. I suspect there's going to be some
funk,
some physical. No, I think it's going to be physical
funky,
therapy.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to be that.
It's going to be funky.
Yeah,
trust me.
So.
Oh my goodness! We see the yard boy out there watching. We see Marsha. We see Scott McCune, my ace number one helper there at the helper. No, he keeps me straight at the lumber yard there in Eagle Vegas.
Excellent. I'm sure things
he runs control. He has the power. So
are things busy in the construction world these days?
What
impact have the current conditions had on what you guys do?
Well, we try to get all the social distancing criteria under place, and the guys that we went dump the showroom at the command center there at end at 140 North Main Street is closed to the public.
So you deal with your materials are 100% delivered.
For the most part. Now, we still have some walk-in trade, but boys and girls, if you want to come to Eagleville and get anything you need for your house, you can do that.
So you can just drive up. You don't have to have an appointment or anything.
It's better that you call. You can email us. You can call ahead. You can get your order placed.
And that is Crosland Builders Supply.
Building supplies.
Building supplies.
Well, that's builders. Building. We deal with the builders. That's okay. It's a common mistake. It's okay. It's okay. But we can load your
truck. I'm fairly common.
Yeah, you're pretty common. But we can load your truck and make arrangements for you. If we don't have what you need on hand, there's two things that are a possibility. We can get it for you, or you really don't need it. That's an old adage.
Now, do you help people creatively tie dimensional lumber to the top of their car and like to the front and rear bumper?
You would not believe the things that we've
no,
that
I
we have
believe.
Seen. A Volkswagen Beetle with 13 bags of sackcrete in it.
That's a bunch.
A bunch of sackcrete.
I once upon a time loaded a Volkswagen Beetle with, we had to get the person in the car first. And then we had to put all the bag stuff in from the passenger side, including all the smaller plants, and then closed the door. Then they bought four weeping willows.
Put them in the front.
And we put one on each corner and tied them corner to corner over the top of the car. Now, I don't know how they got out once they got home, but seriously, but this is back in the day before we, this is
safety.
Way back. There was no camera. No, this was not safe. But I'm assuming that they got to where they were going with them. I mean, I tied them very securely.
What was the flag in those days? What was the number of straps that go across your truck? But you were mentioning there are, as with all the supply chain, where you seem to be seeing signs that the supply chain has been broken, because we have manufacturers all over the United States. We have distribution that comes in from all over the planet, truthfully.
Right.
So
availability of all materials is not going to be as continuous as it has been in the past.
And it's spotty, and I mean, it's certain things. And I saw an email from the lumber buyer that we had to substitute some 24-foot material into hem fir species, which is just a different type of wood. For a period of time until some of these things get going on. It's not uncommon that some of these things happen in the spring, because the southern yellow pine, you get the log decks and they can't get in because it's been a particularly wet winter again this time. But things like that are manufactured in states like Pennsylvania, they're starting to have some troubles. I mean, because they've basically been shut down. So, I mean, some of these plants are in different places, and Michigan. So it's just tough. I had one vendor tell me that their order file for interior doors and interior door blanks and skins, they have 16,000 on back order.
16,000 on back. Now, when you say blank, you're talking about the interior
just slab,
part.
Just the slab, in different patterns.
And the skins are the veneer that's attached to the outside.
The skins come from one place, and then they get manufactured. They get put into the slab form, and then primarily there are two major manufacturers in the United States, and they raised prices right before the COVID stuff hit, and then everybody tried to buy a bunch of them up before the price points hit, and then. Then the COVID hit, and then the order files were already large and back ordered because they were ramped up for production. So it's just one of those things they tell us. Things are starting to ease out, but 16,000 door slabs, folks. And you count. You walk around your house and count how many doors are in your home, and you'll see how many homes. Even a big house.
Well, I mean,
huge.
That's maybe 1,000 homes. I mean, probably have 16 doors. If you start counting all the doors, I mean, easily that many.
Well, again, the way that the designs are going right now, where you have big open spaces,
that cuts down on the door use.
But
in our house, we've got 16 doors, so you're right on the money.
Well, and again, you say an average house. What's an average house? Okay, now my average house that I walk through is
what is average intelligence?
I don't know. I did three takeoffs yesterday for the tune of, in three homes, very nice homes, that were probably going to be approaching 80 individual slabs, 80, 90 individual slabs.
Oh, word.
No. It wasn't that's divided by three. It was three homes, so about 25.
Okay.
You know, you've got double doors that are mixed in there and some other things along.
So when you say door slabs, are you talking about the raw slab of wood a door is made from, or are you just talking about like the actual door already manufactured?
Well, yeah, a manufactured slab is what I'm referring to. And we actually have a manufacturer in Lebanon, Steve's Door and Son. They actually built some slabs out there.
But that's not one of the two major ones you're talking about.
No. They buy skin. That Steve's company buys skins from both Masonite and Geldwin.
Those are the two primary.
Those are the two big dogs. Yes, I'm talking about you. They're the ones that they have. If you see the six-panel doors that are very popular these days, one's called the six-panel or Rockport.
So tell us what a six is. That like a door that has like little cutaways in?
No, it's just the individual panels. The green door behind you is actually a six panel door. Why would that be, David Bates?
Because it has six panels.
There you go.
Okay,
well, now that's traditionally known as a six panel door. But
when you say six panels, are you talking about those little squares in the middle?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them are rectangles, but yes, we knew what you meant.
Well, they're all.
Let me rephrase. With the six rectangles on it, since a square is a rectangle.
Yeah. Well, they're all. Yeah, they are all actually rectangles. But now you have those. That particular one that you see there, and if you folks are looking at your door slabs now, I know you are. If your home was built within the last 25 years, chances are you have raised panel doors. Which means that it simulates the old panels that were actually grooved into the doors. Right now, with the contemporary trends and with the shaker styles that are out there, they are the flat panel doors. Like are in my home from it was built in 1946. It's literally a flat panel. We have big one on the top, big one on the bottom, and a medium one in the middle.
We've got several of those sliding hidden doors. Pocket doors. They slide into the wall. How do they get those in the wall? That's what I was always curious about, because where this particular one is seems very difficult.
I could tell you, but I would have to kill you.
Oh, okay.
Because absolutely a trade secret. No, that frame actually goes in at the point in time before the drywall goes in.
So how do you replace it, though, if something happens? that's what I was worried about.
Okay. Do you think? Be very careful hanging pictures where those are.
Well, this goes.
Trust me, folks. Gosh. It happens where folks will. We'll get the 3-inch screw,
and then they go. Why won't the door close? Or why won't it open?
Or you pull it open and it goes.
See, I don't got any issues like that. But this one is, it goes in our bedroom out of the kitchen. So I got a bunch of cabinets on the wall on one side, and the other side of it is the closet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here thinking, there's nothing wrong with the door. Mm-mm. I just was looking at it the other day, and I'm thinking, if something happens to this, I feel like it's going to be a real pain in the butt to get it fixed.
Don't
let anything happen to it.
Yeah.
Don't mess
with
up
your life.
That's because they've been in use for a long, long, long time. But there are little hooks and attachments, but the frame itself is built into the wall. Now, if you're out there sourcing them, a lot of places have them in what they call a setup frame. We choose to sell a universal variety that is... can be used from any size up to 3 feet. So and you can put them in. You can put them in pairs with a converging kit.
Hey, a big hello to Jeff Sweeney out there. I'll see you out there this morning.
Okay, Mama Kathy's watching too. So happy Mother's Day. We told her Happy Mother's Day last year, but it's a Happy Mother's Day for Mama Kathy every time
She's just a happy lady.
She's a happy lady all the time.
Always fun to be around.
615-499-6690. The timer is timing, but the...
we get about 8 minutes.
About 8 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the people who have not gotten their vegetable gardening things done probably need to be getting on with it. I'd say a great many people have. However, the demand has been so great for vegetable plants that the availability going forward, this is another one of those areas where that, you know, when you grow things, you don't just turn on a machine and the plants start coming out. You know, you have to take a considerable number of weeks in advance to germinate the seed, to transplant the seedlings, to grow them for so many weeks, and then they'll become a finished product. Well, those growing things have been set out, those timelines have been set out, and decisions were made last year.
See?
So the really huge influx in demand has caused a lot of product to get shipped out that I mean, they're way ahead of schedule, and the end of the line is approaching. So that is to say, if you have plans on getting your garden things, I would not delay beyond this weekend much, because it doesn't mean you won't be able to get anything. What it does mean is that your choices will likely to be more narrow. You won't have as many things to choose from, so you may have to settle for, you know, maybe a bell pepper when you can't get your Trinidad scorpion, which is what you were really wanting, or a ghost pepper, or perhaps a Carolina Reaper if you're, you know, one of those hot pepper enthusiasts.
If you're insane.
That's me, yeah.
Well, again, in the
I like those really hot peppers.
The above ground garden at the Proving Grounds has jalapenos and cayenne. I actually got some. I ran across some tomatillos, so I bought two of those.
Tomatillos are a wonderful.
Oh, tomatillo salsa with my little cherry tomatoes that are going along there.
Yeah, need to have a little cilantro planted around somewhere.
I'm actually trying that from seed this year.
Well, there's no reason not to.
Well, again, I had the dirt. I have the above ground garden. I actually tried some radishes from seed this year, and I've already got a little baby. I got a little baby.
Now
radishes.
You're gonna have to transplant them, obviously, because you know you're probably or thin them.
Okay.
Which is more likely, because you know you don't want them growing.
They say put them in the little holes together, and that's what they're kind of the way that the package on the seed.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you say thin, should I just go out there and selectively just get one with a pair of tweezers?
Sacrificially.
So I need to have one plant will give me how many?
Well, if you have too many of those little tubers growing together, you know, they're going to crowd each other. So, you know, they need to have a little bit of space to grow in. Radishes don't get huge, most of them. So you don't have to have a lot of space, but you don't need to have, you know, 15 of them in one little spot either.
Okay.
At this stage, you can have 15 in a, you know, a size of a dime.
Oh, yeah.
Area.
Easily. Now, so each one is going to have, so I just pull it, I pull it loose.
If you carefully just undo the, in a, like we were talking about on transplanting the rose, that question we had earlier, be prepared to immediately replant it and water it. So, you know, you've got some, so you can dig those out without tearing the root system and carefully separate them and repot them into individual little pots if you like. Maybe you can reuse some of the old cell.
I could put them in a row. I could get my radishes in a row.
You can do that, yes.
Okay.
You can do it, Josh. You can do it. You can do it.
He's a little engine that can't. That could.
But the cilantro, I haven't seen any.
But will he's the question.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't seen the cilantro with any kind of a germination. Now, I'll probably end up having to go through that process.
Well, there's no need in bringing the germination into this. You know, they're
going to start playing soccer today.
Are they?
Yes, they are. They're actually going to be broadcasting.
With MLS?
The Bundesliga.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Okay. Got racing at Darlington tomorrow.
Golf today.
So now, so are they going to have spectators in the stands, or are they going to sell?
The likelihood of me going to a Bundesliga game is really slim.
I'm talking about some of the closure. You said racing, so
all the races are without fans for the moment. I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they were kind of going that way anyhow for the last few years.
The golf match. It's like Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and some. I don't think it's a full field. But it's all a fundraiser for COVID-19, I think. So I don't think there's going to be fans at this particular course.
Is golf going to actually encourage what few people are there to make some noise rather than be quiet now?
Yeah. Probably. Get in the hole!
Get in the hole! Now, when is the big golf tournament or match or between?
Oh, you're talking about the match two between Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods?
With Peyton Manning and Tom Brady?
I didn't see that part.
Evidently, they're going to have Peyton Manning
as caddies.
No,
they're going head to head golf.
What if Tom Brady goes out there and he's just like the greatest golfer ever?
That'd be awesome. It'd be just typical.
He's one of those kind of guys who could have never played ping pong in his life and could pick up a paddle and just dust you. Yeah, just.
Baseball is supposed to get started back the weekend of July the 4th, 82-game season, if the players will decide to take a pay cut, which is not likely. So
probably no baseball then, right?
Well, it depends. I think what they'll end up doing is if that happens, they'll do what they did in 94 and threaten to bring up the minor leaguers and just let them play.
Minor leaguers will play. And being an Orioles fan, that's what I've been used to for the last 10 years.
I know.
615-499-6690. Now, you can dial that number.
Terry.
Hey. Me and Boog, Just like that, man.
Yeah.
We went to different schools together.
Uh-huh.
All righty. We are running close to time to get out of here for this edition of the At Home Show. But that phone number, you can dial it 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
Yeah, 365 days in the year. Or this is a leap year, so we should have 366, correct?
Yeah, we've kind of gotten past that day already, so it's...
You know. What's today today?
Today is the 16th of May.
So that's not anywhere close to 366. The leap year.
We've already had the extra day.
That's my point.
Yeah. In the total, it will add an extra day to the year.
But we didn't even start using this number until like a month ago, okay. Josh. It was well after the leap day.
We're going to remind you, share the Facebook page with everybody you know. We're going to ask you to go out to YouTube and like that channel.
Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe to that channel. Twitter, once we figure out what's going on with it, we're going to try to get some more.
It's out there currently on the Bates Nursery Twitter page.
Yes.
So we're being broadcast live on there, so you can go out there
If you have any influence with anybody at LinkedIn, we're trying to get it up on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, they indicated they had several weeks backlog.
That's true.
There was apparently, there's a lot of people with time on their hands, so they're doing these videos at home.
Okay. I know.
So we've been doing the radio program. The radio show is basically what we're trying to do here with a little visual interest to it, because that's what's going to happen with it. But we're going to try to do this continuing going forward.
Yep.
In whatever format or fashion we have to get going. So we need your help and we need your support. If there's something that you want us to talk about, please put that in there. Put it in the comments. Put it in email to us.
We will gladly talk about things for which we have no knowledge at all. It's never stopped us before.
It never will. So just do so. And, folks, next Saturday,
I'm going to try to have an instructional thing about how to smoke some food with a kettle grill.
Okay, you can do
and
that.
I might actually have time to get these things that y'all sent me while we've been on the air up, where we can maybe reference those and people can see them.
And just make sure we know how to keep that smoked stuff lit, okay? Because, I mean, I've never been able to get smoked fish. I mean, you just cannot keep it lit. I mean, I've never been able to do it. Folks, this is the At Home Show. That's Michael Stevenson. That's David Bates. My name's Josh Carey.
Honora McGarry back there running the video board.
Thank you, Honora.
We appreciate that.
And we'll see you right here from Bates Nursery and Garden Center. It's 0.9 miles north of Briley Parkway at exit 19.
Everybody else says a mile, Josh.
I know everybody else does. We'll see you next Saturday morning for the At Home Show.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.